now with the announcement of the latest Avengers movie out, and so many good things happening, theatre productions and all sorts of things for entertainment. If you're blind or partially sighted, it can be difficult to get the best out of these visual mediums, and that's where audio description comes in. And if you don't try it, you're not likely to know whether it works or it doesn't. But one man who tries it regularly is Vidar Hjarding, and he's been to a recent theatre production, haven't you?
Hello, Simon. Yes, I have. I have. Back to Stratford, so RSC, Royal Shakespeare Company territory. And this was a new play, Kunaini and the King, starring Anthony Sher and John Carney, actually. And it was literally two actors on stage for 90 minutes without an interval, and probably one of the most powerful pieces of drama I've seen for a while. So it marks the 25th anniversary of the end of apartheid, and basically, Anthony Sher plays a terminally ill actor, and John Carney is the guy who is playing the nurse who is sent to look after him, basically, in that period of ill health. And they both reflect on their own backgrounds and all the rest of it, and it's powerfully emotionally and historically and in so many different ways, and really intense, tremendous performances. It basically stands or falls by the performances, because both actors are on stage for the entire time, and they are equally as strong as each other. And, you know, when I say it would have survived without audio description, that's in no way to take away anything that Ellie Packer or Mary Plackett provided through their characteristically first-class AD, but because it was all dialogue and the set didn't change that much, it's basically a living room backdrop and one or two things perhaps you wouldn't have known through the dialogue that had to be explained. So it was good to have it, but it was one of those that probably, you know, stood or fell in terms of visually impaired people's enjoyment by the actual, you know, text of the play.
I know what you mean with that, because I have watched things, or I listen to things without audio description, and you think, well, I get the gist of that and it works for me. But then you find that somebody says something like, did you notice that? And I, no. So, you know, it might not have been integral to the story, but it added a bit of colour to it.
Yeah.
And I've missed that because I haven't had it described to me.
No, well, that's very true. So I'm not going to say we couldn't have or shouldn't have had audio description. Absolutely not, because it still added a lot. But it was just, you know, noticeable that the text itself did describe a lot of what was going on as well. But you still can't see facial expressions. You can't see him hiding his gin bottles and secretly having a swig of that. So it was, very, very, very good, and a really impressive new play, really.
Was that him or you with the gin bottle?
Oh, well, now that would be telling, wouldn't it?
So there wouldn't be much in the way of props then, I don't suppose, would there?
No, not really. As I say, it was mainly... there are two locations, if I remember correctly. There's the actor's home, and then indeed there is the nurse's home later on in the play. So in terms of the props, not a huge amount. Now, in fact, there was a touch tour, but we didn't get to the touch tour because we were on our way there and there were travel problems, basically. So we missed that, which was unfortunate, because it always adds something, and you sometimes get the chance of meeting the cast. I'm not sure whether either or both of them were available on this occasion, but there was a touch tour, but sadly I can't tell you much about it because I wasn't there in time. But that said, I got in time for the pre-show notes, which if people aren't familiar with how the system works, are available delivered live 15 minutes before curtain up. That's a bit like reading your program, talks about the set, the backdrop, who's in the play, who wrote it, etc., etc. So at least I had that context, which was really useful as we went into the actual drama.
Well, we would love you to give us some feedback if you've used audio description in live theatre, in that environment. Or conversely, if you haven't tried it, we would like to encourage you to try it this year, wouldn't we?
We would. So if you're thinking, well, we're coming into the summer period and let's see if on these lighter nights, it might be nice to go into my local theatre. Or if you still prefer a matinee, often audio-described performances are done on a Saturday or a Wednesday afternoon too. Then talk to your local theatre, have a look at the website if you're conversant, as it were, with how technology works, and see what there is. If there's something that doesn't appeal, or even if there is something that does, and you want to know more about how it works at your local theatre, give the box office a ring. Maybe they'll put you in touch with somebody specifically focusing on access and creative learning. And, you know, it's as much for their benefit as it is for visually impaired patrons to try and find things that people will genuinely come and see and enjoy, courtesy of the audio description. So yeah, give it a whirl and see what it's like.
And Vida, a lot of people don't know this, but he is an expert on the best kind of snacks to use when you're at an audio-described performance. Because you don't want something too crunchy, do you?
You certainly don't want anything too crunchy. Otherwise, you get sort of middle-aged frumps like me sitting next to you, tutting and sighing loudly. Yeah, and actually, when it's a really interesting point, that actually, joking apart, that play that we've just focused on was so intense that you could hear a pin drop, actually. So no rustling sweets or popcorn or unwrapping ice creams wouldn't have gone down well at all.
But if you've got a guide dog, you can rest assured that there'll be provisions made, but get in touch with the venue beforehand.
Absolutely, absolutely. And indeed, the staff very often are sort of, if not literally fighting over, but very keen to look after guide dogs. It's a very popular thing that staff and volunteers at most venues are very keen to do. So if you'd prefer not to take him or her into the auditorium with you, that service is, as you say, Simon, laid on very often too.
Vida Hjarding, it's always a pleasure to chat with you, and you always make it sound so inviting. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Nice to talk to you again, Simon.